You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived, and we appreciate it. It's been a busy one with Stephen A. Smith earlier announcing he's running for president, and we end with one of our friends from the University of Missouri, the athletic director, Desiree Reed-Francois. We talked to Desiree in Destin, had a fantastic conversation. Hope to see her this fall, and welcome back to the program with a headline talking about a new initiative at the University of Missouri. Good afternoon, and Desiree, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you as always for having me. I'm so fired up. We kick off in a week from Thursday, so this is one of my favorite times of the year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about just the off season. When we saw you last, everything was churning, and now that everything is happening again, I know you had meetings the other day with your fellow athletic directors. Let me start there because there's so many issues going on in college athletics right now. What can you tell us about that gathering?
I can tell you that Commissioner Sankey and all of my colleagues around the Southeastern Conference are going to be very methodical. We're going to be very strategic. I'm assuming that you're asking me about 8 games or 9 games.
Yes.
I'm ready to break headlines here. I'm
of
sure
course.
Commissioner would love that. But what I can tell you is that we're going to be very methodical. There are benefits and there are drawbacks to the 8 games conference schedule. There are benefits and drawbacks to 9 games, but I can assure you that we will be very methodical and very strategic.
I appreciate your descriptions. And I'm tempted to ask when are we going to see 9 games? But that would be a leading question, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be. As you know, we have baseball in the country, Paul. And so, I think that they would definitely classify that as textbook leading question.
Yeah, I'm out of order. I've been sanctioned by the judge, but I thought I would try. Desiree, I appreciate you sending I'll pay the fine on the way out of court. I am interested, though, in this, because while there's nothing, at least that was determined, what are those meetings like? This is your second one, I believe. You came in last year right before all of that happened. Now that you've spent a year in the SEC, how different was it knowing these people versus knowing some of them?
Well, I came up with the majority of the folks in that room. And John Cohen and I were on the NCAA baseball committee together, as was Coach Tanner. So I've known them all for a really long time. And they're a great group of people. From Candace to Ross and everybody in between. It's just a really good group. It's a very collegial group. We're a very competitive group. But in the end, I remember Coach Dickey telling us at the University of Tennessee, in the end, what's best for the Southeastern Conference, that's what holds the day. And that's what we do. Commissioner Sankey and the entire team at the SEC, they're just great leaders. And they're very, very thoughtful. I keep saying methodical, but that's really what our league is about. And we're going to do what's in the best interest of the Southeastern Conference, but also take a very wide lens.
Desiree, it's been a busy summer, you know that. And at least the perception from the media, the framing of intercollegiate athletics right now is you have these two super conferences that are heading towards 16 and who knows how many more. As the athletic director of Missouri, which has been in the SEC now for 10 years, what are your thoughts on dealing with that many schools? It's been difficult to integrate 16, and now there's already talk it could go higher.
So is there a question there, Paul?
There wasn't a question, but I'm hoping for a good answer.
Oh, okay, great. In terms of, I think, whether it's NIL, the Transformation Committee, we're coming out of a pandemic. There are so many different things that are coming at us in college sports. But you know what? In 9 days, we're going to kick off. And we even have week zero games this weekend. And if we do what is right for our student athletes, and we focus on the great opportunity we have to make a difference, make an impact in the lives of a young person, I think we're going to be just fine. So, yes, we've had challenges before as an industry, but there is something so incredibly beautiful when we all get together, 61,000 fans at the University of Missouri, and we all celebrate on Faurot Field. When we walk and see graduation, when we get those letters back from our student athletes and we get invited to their weddings, I understand this is a win-loss business, but it's also about education and it's about impact and it's about the privilege of being able to be a part of someone's life when we're making memories. So yes, I know all the drawbacks, but there's also so much beautiful in college athletics and college football.
Desiree, I think everyone watching completely and totally agrees, and you've been in this for a very long time at various schools. You just mentioned the University of Tennessee. However, when you see the move by the Big Ten, when you're sending student athletes, their words, not mine, because I think that's a much overused phrase, from California to New York and all parts in between, and even in the SEC, it's a pretty long haul. How can you look past the obvious to many people where I sit that this is truly all about money?
Well, it's probably not my place to comment on another conference.
Well, no, but you're running an athletic department and right. And you're participating in what many people feel is a money grab.
Well, I'm not in the Big Ten and I'm not involved in that decision. All I can talk to you about is what's going on at the University of Missouri, what's going on in the Southeastern Conference. And in the Southeastern Conference, we are really enthused about the trajectory and the direction. We have the best fans in the entire conference. Our student athletes are incredible people. And you know what? We do pretty well in all of our sports. So whether it's football national championships, student athlete engagement, graduation rates, you know, I'm really proud to be a part of this conference. I'm really proud of the direction that we're going and the leadership that Commissioner Sankey has shown.
But Desiree, I'm not arguing any of these points, and you're making excellent points, but I'm somewhere last night where a bunch of alums are, and all they're talking about is how much money that the universities are bleeding them to pay for athletes. And I know that's a big phrase, but ultimately, that's really what's going on, and you can't deny that. So while what you say is technically true, there's still a lot of cynics out there who are having a hard time having faith in the current system and structure of intercollegiate athletics. So what would you say to that?
Anytime you have change, you will have bumps in the road. Anytime you have an evolution like what we're experiencing in college athletics, whether it's name, image, and likeness, whether it's the transfer portal, whatever the case may be. And, you know, we've had change throughout our history of college sports. And when you have change, you're going to have bumps. And that's part of growth. But you know what? There is something so incredibly special of bringing people together and being a part of a win, but also just seeing what happens with a student athlete. Next to the GI Bill, I think that college athletics provides more scholarships for students across the board than anything else. And you know, that's
but if I could interrupt, you still haven't answered my question though about the amount of money that is being taken in. And a lot of these players are making small amounts, but as you well know, there are a lot of them that are making significant amounts, and there is a turnoff, and I'm just curious how that issue is going to be addressed.
I think it's wonderful. Anytime we have an opportunity to provide for our student athletes, we want to do that. And that, and like I said, and I don't mean to be redundant, but there are going to be bumps and bruises along the way. But you know what? Those 7,000 student athletes that are members of the Southeastern Conference and that are making an impact, that's something really special, and it can't be taken for granted. We sometimes will look at we'll look at kind of the worst case scenario, and we miss sight of the whole, and we miss sight of the educational opportunities that we're providing. So I'm really proud of my 550 student athletes, and I know every single athletic director in this conference is proud of theirs too. So I can't wait to kick off, and I can't wait for September 1st. But how about we talk about some football tickets?
Well, tell us about it then.
You know, Paul, as you know, we've seen attendance drop across the country. We have got to be very innovative at the University of Missouri. And so we are excited about the opportunity to have our student athletes and have all of our students incentivized. If they sell tickets, then they get 20% of that season ticket or 20% of that individual game ticket. And we're reversing that trend. We're starting to see some incremental growth, and I'm really looking forward to, hopefully in a year, you'll have me back, and I'll be able to tell you that it was really successful.
So what exactly, I mean, I know I've read the stories and I've heard what you said a minute ago, but what does that actually mean to those who are selling their tickets? What do they get?
They get 20%. So University of Georgia, I think you may join us when we host Georgia. So hypothetically, we sell a $100 ticket. The student or a student athlete goes and they sell it through their link, then they'll get $20 for that ticket, 20% total.
And you mentioned attendance. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because when I speak to athletic directors around the country, they're very concerned about that. And while these television contracts continue to escalate, there's a genuine concern on campuses about getting people to the stadium. What's the solution?
Well, it's not just a one answer or a soundbite solution. It's, you know, we all know about that we're competing with for people's time, but it's a driveway to driveway approach. And really, I can't control what goes on the field. All we can work on is all of the different the game day atmosphere. So whether it is moving a student section, which is what we've done here at the University of Missouri, or we added new scanning pedestals, or we added food locker system where our fans can text or can go download our app and order from their seats. It's an opportunity for us to listen to our fans and then create that best game day atmosphere we possibly can. But just like your question that you asked me about NIL and monetizing college athletics, et cetera, there's going to be a couple of bumps along the way, but just like any new initiative, that's what we're going to have. But we're going to keep working really, really hard to make sure we have the best game day possible for our fans.
But isn't the bump that everyone's facing ultimately the fact that it's just so much easier to stay home and watch games from 11 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning until 11 to 12 midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning around the clock? It's comfortable. And you don't have to drive from Kansas City to Columbia. You don't have to drive from St. Louis to Columbia. You don't have to deal with crowds. You don't have to deal with heat. You don't have to deal with anything. I mean, to me, that seems like the real issue in college athletics, as opposed to making it easier to order food from wherever you're sitting.
Yeah, but that game day atmosphere, Paul, as you know, there is something so incredibly special when you are able to see the team, when the music plays and the band and the tailgate, and see the team run out into the field for the first time. You cannot replicate that energy. And so there's just something really special about celebrating with 61,000 of your fans. And throughout the Southeastern Conference, we all have incredible game days. And we just can't wait to see people out there. And whether it's our students who are great ambassadors and bring energy to all of our fans, there's something really special about game day.
Thank you very much, Desiree. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Paul.
We'll take a short break, and we are back with your reaction right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are, what, a week away from Out of Pocket, a week from tomorrow right here on the network. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. And we need something to laugh about. We need something to giggle about, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Legend is up next.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, brother. That's right, man. I'm always laughing, Paul. You know, you got clowns on here talking about my laugh is fake. Let me tell you clowns something. I enjoy the hell out of the Paul Feinbaum Show, man. Woo! I enjoy the hell out of it. You know what's wrong with people, Paul? They don't know how to pull their pants down and slide on the ice. You know what I'm saying? 90% of the people you meet in the world are miserable, Paul. There's a bunch of miserable pricks, man.
Can you say that, Brandon?
Well, we just did.
Okay.
Do you agree, Paul, or disagree?
I would agree. So far, I agree with you.
I'm good.
Yeah, especially listening to your show today. Hey, Paul, I want to talk about Notre Dame, though. Don't you think because they're a top-five team that just shouts how mediocre the entire nation is after the top three teams in the nation?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think there really is a fourth team this year yet.
No, there's not, Paul. I mean, the whole nation has just gotten worse outside of the top three teams. I mean, let's face it, when Notre Dame and Texas A&M, Paul, Texas A&M is in the top 10, that just shouts to me that college football outside of Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia, it's just pathetic. I mean, there's no more maybe that eighth-place team has a chance at winning this thing, or maybe that team could sneak up. They just ain't out there, Paul. You have to have a hell of imagination to look at a fourth team and consider them a true national championship contender. And the fact that Notre Dame is in the top five, I mean, come on, they're going to get drugged. Week one, they're going to get beat by 40 friggin' points. And this is a top five team. I mean, come on. Hey, I heard you say Ohio State is the one team that can challenge the great Alabama. Do you really believe that?
Of course not. I just said it to say it.
Woo! That's right. If all y'all that don't like my laugh, boing, 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 there goes that middle finger, baby. Hey, I will say this about Ohio State, though. Stroud, Henderson, and Smith, that's a three-headed monster, Paul. I mean, that's kind of like Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin back
They're
in the
good.
Day. I mean, that's a hell of a combination right there. They're going to put up 40 or 50 a game. But that defense last year, Paul, was weak as tater water. I mean, you get a new coach, but if you look at most mock drafts, you just don't find many Ohio State defensive players in a whole lot of mock drafts next year. I mean, I think they still got a massive problem on defense. So what a three-headed monster. And, hey, I've been getting some news from down there in Alabama, baby. Got my sources down there. They tell me Jermaine Burton going to be a superstar, Paul. You know, that reminds me a lot of the situation last year when everybody said that Jameis Williams was Ohio State's third best receiver. He couldn't even get on the field. I hear Daryl and them talking that same trash about Jermaine Burton. But, Paul, wouldn't you agree that when you got Bryce Young and the Alabama offensive system, that's a lot of difference between playing in that 1980 Georgia offense?
I've also heard legend, I know you know this, that the Addison kid that went to SC, he wanted to go to Alabama to play with Bryce Young, but he got too many people involved in that.
Yeah, too many dollar signs still. I hear they outbid us.
Yeah, well, no. I don't think Alabama was in contention for this deal.
Hey, but I will tell you something that I'm hearing, and I just want to thank the University of Kentucky, because I hear the offensive line coach down there, the new offensive line coach, Eric Wolfert. Man, I hear that dude is bad, and he's putting a meme back at the Alabama offensive line.
I didn't realize what a problem Marone was last year. I mean, I knew he was a fired NFL coach, but he was also now a fired offensive line coach.
Yeah, you know, that was the third time in 15 years that we didn't at least have 5 yards of carry last year, and we had 42 sacks last year.
Let me ask you this, because I was in town yesterday, and everybody I've talked to who was at the scrimmage the other day was raving about Gibbs, the running back from Georgia Tech.
Yeah, he's elusive, Paul. You know what's really exciting about him is his change of direction and his ability to excel in traffic. If you go back and watch some clips of him at Georgia Tech, you know, Alabama almost got him out of high school. If you watch some clips, this guy is just awesome. And I think, you know, everybody talks about Will Anderson Jr., but I think Gibbs is the one that's going to be in New York, baby. I sure think that. I heard KJ, one of the PJs. He's one of the PJs, Paul. KJ, talking trash about the legend the other day. Let me tell you something, dude, with that fake bling around your neck. Your bling don't go bling bling. It goes ding ding. You ain't won nothing in so long. You should never open your mouth. You forget that George Teague ran you down and stripped you of your testicles, dude, and you ain't been talking the same sense. Keep your mouth shut with your fake bling about the king of legend at Alabama football. Paul, I'm ready. I'm pumped, baby. Woo! Let's get it on. It's getting close. Tee it up. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building.
Cooper is in Starkville. Hello, Cooper.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great.
Yes, sir. Well, I got two questions for you, or a two-part question is, why isn't Mississippi State a relevant team in the SEC? You know, we got the atmosphere, the campus, the numbers, we get players, but why aren't we a relevant team? Is this because of we are low in NIL deals, or other dynasties like Bama and Georgia just dominating all the time?
Well, Cooper, I really think it all comes down to past record and expectations. And as you know, for at least a couple of years, Mississippi State has been stuck right in the middle, really not going anywhere. And I know when Leach got there, there was at least an anticipation that things were going to change. And I think there still is. He's very capable, and I think this team is easily his best. So it just takes winning some big games.
I understand that. No, that was my second question, is how does State become relevant? Is it just the year? You know, do we just need to wait it out with time, with Will Rogers and a lot of the offense coming back? Or, you know, you think it starts with new administration and coaching? Or
I think Mike Leach is very capable, and you know, he's got what he needs. And, I mean, we saw 6, 7, 8 years ago what State is capable of. And I know that was Dak Prescott's team, but he wasn't the only one. That was a really good team. So I don't know why it can't get to that point. It's a Mississippi State is not on the same level with Georgia and Alabama and A&M when it comes to NIL deals, but that's
right.
That not that many schools are. I mean we're not talking about 50 schools that can go that way. State's still a very attractive school, and there are a lot of young people that want to play there, either from a past standpoint, a tradition standpoint, or the fact that it's really a good place to go.
Yes, sir. So your answer to that question would just be to give Leach time and
I'm not one that gives people time forever. I think this is a big year, and if he can improve the product, then I think there's no reason to consider anything else. But that's. Yeah, I mean, a couple of things you have to do when you're at Mississippi State. You can't lose to Ole Miss every year. And I think it starts there. And then it's a matter of dealing with the usual schedule. And this schedule is a little trickier than usual because of a game or two that – but I really do believe it's you can manage it, though. Hey, thank you for the call. I think it's a better schedule than they've had in the past. We're heading to a break. We are coming back with 30 minutes. We're coming right back after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.